What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hoop Ballers! Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode and another edition of Today in Sports Betting. I am your host, Devin Ellington, or at DALE007 on Twitter. Make sure to go find the rest of the team, however, over at Hoop Ball Gaming. Hoop Ball Gaming. And then, of course, there's the motherboard, the mothership that makes all of this possible. And that is hoop-ball.com. So what I advise is going over to that website, checking out the free content. I always like to invite folks that are new listeners, which, speaking of, welcome in. Glad to have you. Old listeners, welcome back. Wipe your feet. New listeners, go over to hoop-ball.com, get inundated. Start with our free stuff. It's like a party. You show up for the punch and cookies and you stay for the festivities if it tickles your fancy. You know, you show up for the freebies and then you kind of just move on from there. Right now around Summer League, there's lots and lots of transactions going on. Guys getting signed and dropped and waived and all that two-way player stuff. That's all up to date, as well as all the injuries on our news ticker blurb on the right-hand side of the landing page. And then also, why pay $9.99 for something when you can, why pay more than $9.99 for something when you can just lock in that price here, you know, in the next 5 minutes? Because so the loyalty program that I've harped about the last couple weeks since we've rolled it out, the price increase for all the premium stuff is going to go up on the 16th. So if I do my math right here, today's the 12th? Yeah, you got 4 more days to cash in on only paying $9.99 for something whenever everyone else is going to have to pay essentially $15. So different packages to look at for Fantasy Pass, DFS Pass, all that good stuff. Go just browse and search and combine what it is you think you may need for your material and winning your fantasy leagues or your DFS slates. We got it all. We got you covered. So I want to kind of cap the whole premium talk there. Y'all know I'm not a big salesman. I try not to be. I really like to just keep these shows to the point with the content and kind of just ramble and talk about baseball. That's kind of what I do on this segment. Welcome into Today in Sports Betting. We've got a hefty baseball slate that I'm going to have to kind of filter. We're going to do some filtration, kind of see what we like. We got a lot of early stuff. We got 2 NFL preseason games tonight. We got an abundance of summer league, and I'm going to attempt to touch on all of it, as well as maybe throw out some music, movie, pop culture references and stuff like that. So, trying to figure out where to start. All right, let me start by saying that Washington and the New York Mets, I'm not really into the, you know, specifically speaking, this game one with the, well, I mean, we got a kid making his debut, lefty, and Sean Nolan, Marcus Stroman, you know, going for the Mets. So it's the first game of a doubleheader, so I'm really not really looking for anything in this game. So let me just go ahead and toss that to the side. And while we're at it, let's talk about some other games that I won't be talking about on the card. So that way, if you're looking for them, you can, you know, I don't know. Maybe I save you some time thinking about you. The Dodgers, the Phillies, I'm really not looking to play. Oakland, Cleveland with Bassett and Morgan on the mound. Look, Morgan's been pitching really well lately. He's had some more control over his stuff. If I had to say anything, I would say under 9.5, but the steam has taken this from 9 to 9.5. So, you know, I don't know if they get to double digits. Oakland's bats have kind of cooled off a little bit. You know, so Chris Bassett's got shutdown capabilities. So yeah, let's just kind of those, that's kind of like on my, let's just have to watch some baseball games. You know, everyone's got them, you know, we're all fans. That's why we do this. You know, we love the game so much. That's why we found ways to break it down further. Second game of the Washington, New York doubleheader. If Eric Fetty is in as the starter for Washington, he was penciled in for game one, but now like I said, that rookie's making a start. Fetty gets a start here, then I'm looking to go ahead and back the Mets in any way I can, because I love to fade Fetty, and it'll be a overplay probably for me, even though it's going to be a doubleheader game shortened. But I like the idea of attacking Eric Fetty. Respectfully, of course. St. Louis, the Cardinals and the Pirates. I missed on both plays last night. You know, I just thought, actually, no, I hit one personal. You know, I hit on the Will Crow. I talked about it yesterday's show. I hit on Will Crow's under prop. He had 4. Prop was 4.5 strikeouts. And the Cardinals, they do a lot better against Brubaker than what they did do or what they have done against Will Crow. And then they get their boy Will LeBlanc. I think it's Will, or is it Wade? No, it's got to be Wade. It's definitely Wade, right? Wade LeBlanc. The lefty. And the Pirates, you know, they're pretty bad against lefties.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
So I fell victim to this. They got one guy, Brian Reynolds. He hits 336. And that's it. I mean, they got this Castro kid hitting 375, but I think he's got limited at bats. You see more balance, more composure and cohesion in the Cardinals lineup. I think today the Cardinals only being a 135 favorite, minus 135 favorite on the money line is kind of just asinine. So I think I might just double tap for my early plays here with the money line play and the Cards run line. You know, I failed on the Cards team total yesterday. I just kind of instantly went with Will Crow thinking that they were going to do it. They didn't do it. But the fact of the matter is they have some really good baseball numbers against the pitcher they're facing today. Against JT Brubaker, as a team, they hit 358, and this is in 67 at-bats. 238 number, the number of pitches he's thrown against his lineup. On base percentage, 403. Slugging, 627. And the ISO is a 269. So power and extra bases. I mean, Nolan Arenado alone in four at bats, he's got three doubles and four hits, one home run. So everything is going for extra bases with Arenado. I think Arenado against JT Brubaker is just a tremendous, tremendous look here. And then in early exposure with only three at bats. And I like this Edmundo Sosa kid for the Cardinals. He's a nice young talent. Two hits and three at bats. So, I mean, early limited exposure, it's always encouraging to see a batter see a guy, you know, in comparison to Tommy Edman, who's got three hits and 11 at bats and only, let's see, he's got zero walks and he's got two strikeouts. So he just does not see the ball well. And then an early exposure for Tyler O'Neill, six at bats, one hit. So I'm looking to fade O'Neill, Bader, Tommy Edman. I'm looking to support guys like Dylan Carlson, who's got three hits and seven at bats. He's got a double, three runs, two walks, only one strikeout, 143 ISO, 494 WOBA. Look, Nolan Arenado and Edmundo Sosa, maybe Paul DeJong. Yeah, he's a great defensive player. But Yadi, he's got four hits and six at-bats, a lot of singles, I would say. He doesn't have any doubles or triples there. But Dylan Carlson, Yadi, Edmundo Sosa, Nolan Arenado, that's a decent little four-man stack against Brubaker and some DFS if you're asking for my opinion. So I think that's where I'm going to leave this game. I'm going to probably dig into a first five thingy-majig that might make it into the wager pass. But as of right now, I'm happy with the Cards minus 135. I'm happy with the Cards run line at -1.5 at plus 125. And again, I was also looking at the under at first. It's 9.5 and it's getting shade of minus 115, but I don't want too many eggs in my Easter basket to start the day. I don't want them all to explode on me and then me just have to walk around with nasty egg on me the rest of the day. So this game's on MLB Network, so it'll be a fun game to watch. St. Louis, Pittsburgh, 12:35 p.m. All right. Okay. Make sure I don't have any other 1, 2, 3 o'clock games. Oh, yeah, the Cubs and the Brewers. Brewers-Cubs, they play at 2:20 Eastern. 7-6 is Brandon Woodruff's record. He's a right-handed hurler, 2.23 ERA, sub-3 is always good, sub-2.5 is usually spectacular. Kyle Hendricks, 13-4 on the year, 3.68 ERA. He is the steady force, wind blowing 8 miles per hour out. It's humid, it's partly cloudy, it's 86 degrees in the friendly confines. Milwaukee owns the Cubs this year. You know, just put it the way it is. It's Rafael Ortega kid, though, 371 against righties this year. But then you've got 205 for Willie Contreras. Bodie hits 194. Happ hits 176. 195 for Alcantara. Schwindel, 261, which is a drop from his 323. And then note his limited at bats and exposure here because he's getting some burn with the rest of these young cubbies after the trade deadline and people were gone. Patrick Wisdom, only guy seeing an upgrade other than Ortega in his hitting department. Well, that's not true. Dykeman, which is a top prospect that the Cubs got back in those trades. I love this Dykeman kid. 118 is his average on the year right now. He gets an upgrade against righties, though. So watch out for his buck 25 average. 125 against righties. That's nice. Just kind of rolls right off the tongue. Team totals. Look, I gave up on Milwaukee team totals a long time ago. Their offense is just too small ball and too unpredictable when they're going to pop with all those homers. They scored a crap ton of runs last night against the Cubs, blanking them 10-0. Wouldn't be shocked if today was a 2-0 game. So, and the Cubs win. Like, you know, it's just, I say the Brewers own the Cubs, but the fact of the matter is, you know, you got your best pitcher on the mound and Kyle Hendricks, and anything can happen. So what I might look at here, I don't think there's going to be a lot of exposure or history with the Cubs going up against Woodruff because there's a lot of new faces. And look, the guys that have had experience against him, the guys that I just said are really bad against righties, Bodie, Happ, and Contreras are a combined, let me do some quick math here, 42 at bats. And 8 hits. So I'm not going to try to do the percentage math in my head right now, live and during recording a podcast. I can do some basic scratch math and add some stuff up, but I'm not doing those percentages. But 42, 8 hits. So that's what, man. Yeah, there you go. Y'all figured it out. I mean, it's not good. It's not good. So, and those guys are the ones that have the most at-bats against Brandon Woodruff. So, with that being said, I don't think that the Cubs' offense gets going anytime quickly or soon in this game. You've got, on the flip side, guys like Christian Yelich, Avisel Garcia, Colton Wong, obviously formerly with the Cardinals, so he's very familiar with Kyle Hendricks. You know, Jace Peterson's got 3 hits and 12 at-bats. 4 strikeouts, though. Yelich, 13 strikeouts in his 35 at-bats. 9 hits, 4 walks. Look, so, I mean, it's either you got to support the under, I think, because the offenses are going to struggle with the pitching in the first 5. I like the under 4.5 in the first 5. It's getting minus 120 shade. Courtesy of mybookie.ag, where you can bet, win, and get paid. Sponsor of the show, use promo code HOOPBALL. You know, the Cubs got their ace. And if they just get a couple of good at-bats and scratch like a couple runs across early, they could collapse late in the game. This plus 160 Cubs first 5 money line is calling my name. I don't know why. I know it's not a smart play, and it's a play that I probably won't go with. But, you know, it's not something I'm turning my nose away from completely. Cubs run line's only getting plus 110 for the full game. So, I mean, that's saying something. And it was only plus 110 on the first 5. So, okay, I think we're moving out of the early, you know, afternoon kind of games into the 4 o'clock schedule. This 4 o'clock block is something that I'm really excited for. Like I said, that 3:10 game, the game 2 of Washington and New York, keep an eye. And if Fetty is starting that game, I would say go mash and hammer the New York Mets team total. You might be lucky to get it at a 3.5 or a 4 would be my guess. Maybe they set it at a 4.5 because of Fetty. But sometimes, honestly, look, I just don't think that the odds makers are up to the complete savviness that we are in the grind and like finding the minute details and whoever it is that does really well against pitchers. I mean, sure, there's certain glaring things that stick out. You know, a certain team usually owns a guy, and Vegas will take that into account. But for the most part, they're not going to know and be as savvy as we are player by player, you know, just getting this concentrated effort, you know, from the content creators out there is, you know, so, you know, I just think that we can outsmart them. This Detroit-Baltimore game, I got some torn feelings on this one because, well, I love to support Detroit lately. We did yesterday. We won two out of the three bets. The bet we lost was over 9.5, I believe it was, or over 10. It did not hit because, well, Baltimore didn't hit. Baltimore, I think, only scored 2 runs. The Detroit Tigers scored 5. And they pitched really well, and they played really well defense. Or really, wow. Let me try to learn how to talk. They played really good defense. Orioles have lost at least 5 in a row in their last 10. They are 2-8 at home, 17-36. They're actually better on the road. Detroit. They just got such a bad pitcher going for them today. Wind's blowing out. It's humid, 95 degrees. And then you got John Mother Loving Means, put some respect on my name, Means, on the mound for the Baltimore Orioles. He's a lefty. The Tigers love to hit lefties. But look, they're out with Badu's out. Derek Hill, my new baseball crush. I love this player. Love this player. Ribcage contusion for him, though. Urias, questionable for the Orioles. So their starting shortstop might be out. The Orioles get a downgrade against righties. The only guy that does anything against righties is Cedric Mullins, and that's because he's atop the AL leaderboards in just about every offensive category. This guy needs to – they need to build a – look, Mullins, Hayes – I think Mancini's a little overrated. You could get some good return for him. But with Hayes and Mullins, and if Mountcastle could ever stay healthy all the way, I think that's a good young three for Baltimore. But you definitely don't want to give Cedric Mullins up, but it sucks that he's stuck in this logjam muck, you know, of a Baltimore team trying to figure out where their rebuild's going. Urias, the only other batter that hits over 300, and he gets a significant upgrade. 272 is his normal average. He hits 320 against righties, but again, he's questionable. Sore right leg. Not sure what that's from. Could have been from just a weird slide or something like that. But Severino goes down below the Mendoza line from his 232 average against righties. He also is joined there by DJ Stewart, who hits 193, which is also a sub-Mendoza line hitter to begin with. This, you know, on his season numbers. Richie Martin, 188 as a hitter this season, which he hasn't had a lot of exposure with injuries recently. He's been getting more play in the infield. But against righties, 222. Ew. Zach Short, 146 against lefties. Hopefully they platoon him out today. Eric Haas, 321, baby. Let's get the Haas going, the Haas Boz. Willie Castro, 272. He gets an extra 60 points on his batting average against lefties. Victor Reyes, hopefully he's not in the lineup, but with how banged up these guys are, I assume that he probably will be. But look, Miggy Cabrera, he's getting the 300 average up against a left-handed pitcher. He hit 499 last night. I just want to go out and say that we're going to see Miggy hit 500 tonight, and I want to send him all my positive vibes and positive energies, and I hope he reaches that milestone because he's been one of the most just awesome, solid, fun, caring, and loving just players in the majors for so long now. And he's a wonderful veteran to have in the league. And you just got to kind of appreciate things like this. And getting to see a guy hit his 500th home run is very special. You know, more and more guys are doing it as we get into the 22nd and 23rd century, which is just a weird thing to think about. But like, yeah, it's, you know, baseball's getting older. like all of us are. And Miguel Cabrera is awesome. And that's where I'm leaving that. Robbie Grossman, 271. He gets an upgrade from his normal average. And then you got Mr. Jonathan Scope. There it is. I want a scope, baby. Wash your mouth out with some scope. 364 against lefties. Look, I love John Means. I love him. And I've done my fair share of shit talking against him. And I'm not trying to do that. I'm not looking to go against John Means anymore. 60% of the money is on the Tigers, though. They're plus 125. They have a better hitting advantage. I originally was just looking to play the under because it swelled from an opener of 9.5 all the way up to 11. 11 was getting shade of minus 120 to the under. I took the under. Now it's come back down to 10.5. 10.5 is getting minus 115 shade. So I think I'm ahead of the market on the total. And honestly, look, I have got to back the Tigers. I just love them right now. Baltimore. Even though they're going up against a crap right-hand pitcher, I don't think they got it in them. And then also, if John Means doesn't go 7 or 8 innings, that Baltimore bullpen, I'm sorry. Even if the bullpen gets involved with 2 outs in the 6th, that's still too much. Still too much. Over 4.5 on Detroit's team total. You know what? I've been missing a lot more on the team totals lately, so I'm going to pull back from overloading on this game. And I'm looking. I really just want to back the Tigers for the first 5 and the full game, but I can't with the pitching match. Look, Matt Manning perhaps has some positive regression coming. John Means. I think this is just his 3rd start coming back from the IL. So he's got ebbs and flows to go to, maybe. I hope not, because I love him and he's a talented arm. But look, as of right now, we're going to roll with Detroit full game money line because I can still enjoy some good outing by John Means. And then when the Orioles bullpen comes in, then yeah, let's go Tigers, Los Tigres. If you're in the Discord chat, that's what we refer to them as, because they are just animals. We love them. The Tigers have been phenomenal over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And look, you just listen to a podcast, have like a 10 to 15 minute heartfelt breakdown on the Detroit Tigers and Baltimore Orioles game. I'm not sure if that's good or bad for you. I mean, I think it's good because I've been hitting a lot of my Detroit and Baltimore plays. So, I mean, if you win, you win. So that's all you should care about, right? Drew Rasmussen. Tanner Houck. Houck. Is it Houck or Houck? H-O-U-C-K. I think it's Houck. Houck Finn. Tanner Houck Finn. He's a righty. He's 0-2 on the year. 2.46 ERA. I think that's telling. He hasn't had a lot of offensive support. He was making starts when this Boston lineup was banged up, when the Boston lineup was not producing. Christian Vasquez is already out. He's on the bereavement list. So whatever's going on with him, of course, we want to be thoughtful on his behalf and hope that him and the team are going well. You know, we don't want any bad energies or vibes for them. Hopefully, you know, and then to couple that with Alex Verdugo being on the paternity list, you know, there's a congratulations in store there. So with the right-handed hitting or right-handed pitching against the Rays, them hitting it, they're just like, I tried to attack it yesterday and I don't know if y'all watched this game yesterday or saw anything that happened, but this game was drunk by the first inning. This game was the guy in the stands with nacho cheese on his lap and his khaki cargo shorts, his belly kind of hanging out the bottom of his shirt, and he's got a beer bottle or can on each side of him in the cup holders. He's got one of those sun hats, you know, like the round ones with the strings kind of pulled over his face. He's got sunglasses on. His forearms are all beet red because he's been drunk sleeping in the sun since the first inning. That was this game yesterday. And then then he misses the walk-off home run, or, you know, whatever. Like, that guy is what this game was yesterday. The Red Sox won 20-8. 20-8. I will repeat. 20-8. For you math majors, that's 28 combined runs. That's a football score. The last five games for the Red Sox have been set at a total of 10 or higher. I'm sorry, for the Rays. And they've gone over that every time. It was 10.5 last night. At first glance, I wanted something to have in this game. And the numbers are telling me something. Like, they are. They're speaking to me. I'm trying to hold off, and I'm trying to just, like, be disciplined and talk myself through this one. So starting out, under 10 was the opening number. And it was getting the shade, you know. It was getting more of the minus 115 treatment. But now the total is at 11, and that's getting a minus 120 shade. I think that these starting pitchers actually do better today. Rasmussen, don't know how long he's going to go. Huck, you know, he's had some really good starts. Like I said, he just hasn't gotten lucky. So maybe he gets lucky today. Not a lot of exposure for any of the bats against the pitchers, and vice versa. With five straight overs, I think it's time for an under to come and play, just based off the law of average and probability, you know. And one thing else I wanted to point out, the Red Sox were at a minus 130 number. It's come all the way down to minus 110. I don't think that's all specifically tied to Christian Vasquez being ruled out, but he is a good, important part of their offense. I originally was going to have Boston minus 130 on my card, but I am now moving that off. I just don't like that 20-cent jump. It makes me feel a little icky. So, yeah. Let's speed up, because I got to get to other things. I'm talking to you like it's your fault or something. Texas and Seattle. It's Fade Folty Day. Yesterday was Fade Harvey Day. Today's Fade Folty Day. Mike Foltynewicz, that is, the Texas Rangers right-handed hurler with a 2-10 record, 2-10 record, 5.77 ERA. Then you got Marco Gonzalez starting for the Seattle Mariners, which makes this a little more challenging because I don't like backing Marco Gonzalez. So we're going to break this down, and we're not going to like what we find, because I was starting to dig into Fade Folty Day yesterday. I don't know if we're going to get to Fade Folty today. I don't think we're going to get to. I think we're going to have to figure something out. Texas run line last night worked. I said it was going to be a close game. You listen back to yesterday's episode that came out, that played out really, really well. The Mariners against the spread, they're 63-50 this year, 30-26 at home. But look, they have their issues against Foltynewicz. It's odd. There's not a lot of exposure. I mean, there's guys like Abraham Toro, which I might just look at Abraham Toro, maybe, who's come over to Seattle. He's joined up. And in his first two hits against, or his first two at-bats against Folty, he got two hits. With a run, 500 ISO, you know, very small. But then you got Dylan Moore, 7 at bats, only 1 hit, 2 strikeouts, 3 RBIs because he hit a home run. JP Crawford, 3-16, 188, 3 strikeouts. Ty France, 3-11, 273. Then you've got Kyle Seager, who arguably could be the Mariners' best hitter, you know, their franchise guy. 3 for 14, 214 average. You've got Jared Kelenic, who started his young career 0 for 3 against Folty. You got Jake Bowers, who's 1 for 5. Mitch Haniger, 2 for 17 with 5 strikeouts. I can't believe it, but it's not Folty butter. I just can't fade Folty today. I mean, I can't ignore those personal matchups. If with baseball, if you just don't see a guy and you don't feel comfortable with how you see it coming off of his hand, then you just, you know, you don't feel it, you know? And from what these numbers are telling me, I mean, it's Mike Foltynewicz we're talking about. But he's kind of owned the Mariners. The Mariners team total set at 4.5. It's getting heavy shade, heavy juice of minus 140. Under 9, minus 120 for the full game. Texas Rangers on the run line. It's the same as what the Mariners are. Minus 110 for +1.5 for Texas. -1.5 Seattle, the favorite, -110. I mean, it's the exact same thing. And like I said, Seattle's not rolling out a stud pitcher really either. The first five, I already took the Rangers on a full game run line. But look, there's no value in it for me. I know how bad Folty's been, but look, I mean, I think a lot of Seattle bettors are just going to get let down. You know, Folty, sure, he had a rough start his last time out again, but he actually looked better. Like, he got more guys out. He went deeper. He got more strikeouts. I was sweating my Folty under strikeouts prop. And actually, I think he might have hit it, to be honest. So, this is a tough one. This is. I ain't even going front. Let's just stand pat with that Texas run line play. Just because Seattle could struggle for a good chunk of this game offensively, they did last night. And I think these two ball clubs, their inefficiencies are just maximized because they're so bad offensively. Marco Gonzalez, a lefty. The Rangers typically don't do that great against lefties. Andy Ibanez, Charlie Culberson, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Kiner-Falefa actually does not do that well against lefties. Nate Lowe hits .255, but other than Andy Ibanez's .340, you ain't getting much. Charlie Culberson, he may not be in the lineup today. I'm not seeing a projection for him. But, yeah. No. Abraham Toro hits .186 against righties. So look, that I said I liked him because he's got good numbers so far against righty or against Folty. But overall, his general work on this year against righties has been pretty garbage. So I think I got to just kind of stay away from most of this game, which sucks because it's fade Folty day. So blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Should I talk about the Field of Dreams game or just should I just leave that out? Like, I'm talking in order of time starts. So let's talk about it. So look, I'm just going to go ahead and take Lance Lynn and the White Sox in the first five. Lance Lynn was supposed to start yesterday. The White Sox are heavily favored. Andrew Heaney is pitching. This was supposed to be another pitcher for the Yankees also. But the total went from 7.5 to 8.5 once it was found out that Heaney was going to be pitching. I don't understand why the Yankees traded for Heaney. It makes no sense to me. I think it's dumb. And I think the White Sox pretty much just own this game. They had a rough series against the Twins. I think the Twins just match up against them. It's philosophical differences or, you know, like matchups essentially with those ball clubs. Rocco Baldelli, you know, he's not my favorite manager, but I think he knows how to manage within the division pretty well. So I think you just saw a little bit of a buzzsaw and a team take an ebb and a flow. But this is going to be amazing. We're getting a Field of Dreams game. Like, it's, I kind of got goosebumps. You know, I'm looking at the White Sox uniform, right? They got Lance Lynn in the old Sox, probably 1900s, if I'm not mistaken. Just white stockings type uniform, simple pinstripes, big Sox lettering, standing in front of the cornfield. And I have goosebumps. So that's amazing. You know, this is just going to be great. Gleyber Torres is still out indefinitely. Then you look at the right-handed pitchers going up against the Yankees hitters. No one hits 300. No one hits 300 or better. 271 is the highest mark. And that's a downgrade for Aaron Judge's 279 on the year. We see more balance for lefties, or I'm sorry, for the White Sox against lefties. They are a lot more skilled with their on-base percentage and on-base plus slugging, OPS. Sebi Zavala, though, against lefties, I hope they platoon this guy out. Hopefully, I can get a different catcher in there today. Maybe Zach Collins get a go with his power. So, Tim Anderson, he's a good ball player. Luis Robert hits 381 against lefties. Andrew Vaughn hits 318. Eloy Jimenez, before he was hurt, he liked to hit lefties. So I think the White Sox in the first five is just a good, basic, easy way to play this game. I want to just watch this game and enjoy it because it's going to be phenomenal. I mean, it's, like I said, it's the Field of Dreams game. I mean, it, some of y'all may not think it's as cool as I am, but, like, you know, it's, I remember being very, very young watching this movie on a old dusty VHS tape. So I just like it. You like what you like. Toronto and Los Angeles. I'll be really brief here. Really brief. Jose Berrios making his debut for the Blue Jays. The Angels got Shohei Ohtani pitching. He's 6-1 on the year, 2.93 ERA. The total's 8.5. There's been some shading lost. It's at -110, but over 8.5 when I placed this bet was at -120. And look, fact of the matter is, you got a guy making a debut for a team that he's not played for before. He is a good pitcher, but then you also have all this offense around him. And then Los Angeles, the Angels of Anaheim, they also have some pretty good hitters. But they also have one of the worst bullpens in all of Major League. So Bobichet, questionable. That kind of stinks. You know, if he's out, that hurts. Max Stassi is doubtful, which he is a good hitter for them against righties. One of the better hitters they got, him and Phil Gosselin. So look, more hitters for the Blue Jays. Better offense for the Blue Jays. So I want to take a look at the Blue Jays first five. It's getting even money. Plus 100. Easy peasy. Bet a unit, win a unit. Let's bet 100. Let's win 100. Collect 200. Over 8.5. Done. Make that easy. Colorado, San Francisco, your man Marquez, Logan Webb. Look, San Francisco at home. First five. Run line, it's the half run, hoopla, -0.5. So that -110 odds. The Rockies are a terrible road offense, like I talked about yesterday. We won under their team total of 3.5. We won under 5.5 on the first five total with the Houston Astros Colorado game. And I think today's narrative is a bit of the same. This game's going to be 60 degrees. It's going to be brisk. It's going to be cold. A lot of love is going to the Cardinals. Can I talk about the right game, please? The Rockies getting some support in regards to run line. Their juice there is -125 at +1.5. Their team total's at 3. Getting some heavy shade of minus 120 on the over. Not really looking to mess with that. Look, Marquez is a great pitcher. He's been phenomenal for them this year on the road, at home. I mean, he is a stabling force for them. Logan Webb, been really good for the Giants also. And I've got them at a first five advantage. 4 is too small for me on the first five total. If it was 4.5, I would play it perhaps. But 4 is just a little too small. I may look at a no-run first inning. I missed yesterday on the San Fran Arizona game. That was my one that I played. But San Fran, you know, and I don't know if they're the culprit. I mean, they gave up the run first, but then they also scored a run. But 62 degrees, it's going to be cold. I don't think quite literally, and I said this yesterday, quite literally, the offenses are going to have to warm up. 10-mile-per-hour wind out, though, so I get a little pause there. But overall, I really like the no-run first inning. In the backtrack, I like the no-run first inning with the Milwaukee and the Chicago game, too. Forgot to mention that. And just with how bad the offenses are, no, I'm not doing it. It's Marco Gonzalez and Fulton Evich. Those pitchers are terrible. No. Definitely not doing it. And my bookie has Eric Fetty in for game 2 for the Nationals, just so you guys are aware. Props aren't open on it yet, but when props open, make sure to get the team totals, get your player props. Michael Conforto does really great against Fetty. Pete Alonso could probably have a dinger today. So check that out. No run first inning for the San Francisco game. I'm just trying to find it. Sorry. Yeah, and then I'm going to back San Francisco early. Looking to back them early. I'm not really looking to play Cincinnati or Atlanta. Gutierrez, Mueller, these guys are still kind of feeling themselves out in regards to pitching. This game went to extra innings last night. An exciting top of the ninth, 2-run shot, I believe it was, maybe a 3-run shot to tie the game by Joey Votto. And then the Braves ended up winning 8-6. We were actually on Cincinnati's money line at plus 105 yesterday. Then we were also on their team total over 4.5, which that hit, obviously. And then we also were on over 9.5 in the game, so that hit. But tonight, it's going to sedimentize a little bit. It's going to be a little bit weirder. And I'm not looking to play this one too much. Cincinnati against lefties, they're still getting guys in, like Moustakas, who's a lefty killer, but he's still just trying to get ramped up full speed coming off the IL. San Diego, Arizona, Yu Darvish, Taylor Widener on the mound, pitcher's duel. Like, I think this could be a pitcher's duel. It's just hard to say with San Diego's offense and Arizona's bullpen, but fact of the matter is Yu Darvish, he's pretty talented. This Taylor Widener kid, he gets his control under control, and he can have some games. He can have some good games. So, like I said, that's just kind of more or less a baseball opinion. I'm not looking to play that game, but I felt I should address each game on the card. I felt that it was important to do that. There's 2 NFL preseason games tonight, and I'll talk about one because one actually has a game right up on it already, and it's the free play from our guy Joe Campisi. So make sure to check out that stuff over at Hoopball Gaming on Twitter, or get yourself some premium and come over into the Discord. He just posted it in there. That's what it popped up on my screen. That's how I know not to talk about it. So go follow Joe on Twitter as well. And he is at Joe Sif. Here, hold on. He's got a couple weird things in there, so I just want to make sure I get it correctly. Joseph, traditional spelling. And then it's all caps, BXT. And then it's going to be back to lowercase, RADER. So it's Joseph BX Trader, BXT capitalized. Go follow our guy. Go follow our guy. He just put out an impeccable article for the Wyndham Championship coming up, the free golf content. How can you be mad about that? He's hooking you up with some preseason football stuff. He's a football guy. He just dropped a Power 5 conference preview article. Yes. So follow him, follow his work. And as in regards to the other preseason game tonight, let me get my line loaded. And look, I want to say this with at least a couple grains of salt. I am not a huge NFL guy. I'm a huge NFL guy. I just, you know, I am savvy. I play a lot of fantasy football. I do a lot of DFS. I obviously have this podcast. I love football, but I don't love the NFL as much as I used to a few years ago. I love college football. That's just the way it is. With that being said, my insights are not going to be as deep as the Rosenthals and the NFL Network guys, and then even some of our own guys, you know, here on the team. So I want to just say that I think that unders are probably a good way to start. You got vanilla offenses. You got a couple of good defenses in this Pittsburgh and Philadelphia game. Pittsburgh's going to be looking to get their new running back some touches, I would guess. Jalen Hurts is going to be going for the Eagles. And look, this is the very first action of preseason. If y'all have listened to the show for a little while, or at least a couple times, you understand that I love my data. I love my proof in my pudding. I love my numbers. I love my market values. I love being able to see what we're looking at and seeing that fruition and everything. There's heavy shading to both team total unders of 17.5. But yet the under is getting -105 treatment. Like I said, I'm looking to play the under because it's the first week of preseason, the very first reps for these guys, live action. And I think that, you know, it's going to be a matter of just getting rolling. I didn't watch a ton of the Hall of Fame game, but look how rusty those guys are. It's just the way the game goes. So look, let me be brief. I know I've kind of kept everyone here longer than what I thought I would, but under 36, because I think both these teams want to look to run the ball. I think they want to get their offensive line some run package reps. And then, like I said, the vanilla offenses are going to be out there. So under 36, and I would play comfortably. Like I would just play blindly the unders in every game for this first week. And just, I'm going to track it. I want to see what it does because that would be interesting. So, and then there's lots of short favorites, short underdogs. I mean, we're seeing very, very close lines, because they know both teams aren't going to be able to score really. I mean, it's for Pittsburgh and Philly, it's Pittsburgh plus one. Washington, New York, or New England, I'm sorry, it's a pick. Tennessee, Atlanta. Tennessee plus one, Buffalo, Detroit, Buffalo plus one, Dallas, Arizona, Dallas plus one, Miami, Chicago, Miami plus 3.5, Denver, Minnesota, Denver minus 2.5, Cleveland, Jacksonville, Cleveland plus 2.5, New Orleans, Baltimore, New Orleans plus 2.5. Look, you get the drift. Like the biggest one is Cincinnati and Tampa Bay, and that's a 6-point spread. I'll let you figure out who the favorite is. So look, it's a wild time going on right now, y'all. It's ramping up. So we got that baseball covered. We got the NFL covered. Let me briefly gloss across some of these summer league games. I know I really like Charlotte today. They are the favorite. I just love the young talent that they have. They killed the draft this year, and I think they have more young talented depth than the Spurs do. Like, the Spurs are kind of top loaded, you know, they don't have a ton of depth. So I'm just looking for Charlotte to get out and run. I mean, they're going to let their young guys go. They made some great draft picks this year, and I'm looking forward to watching them. This game's at 3 Eastern today, 3 p.m. So I love that game. That's going to be a fun one. Then Chicago and Minnesota will be interesting. Look, the way they're scheduling the games today, we got 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. They're 1 hour staggering all these games. It's really cool. It's really cool. So I think, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to roll with Charlotte minus one because it's got minus 110 odds. And I'm going to rule out that extra dime that it costs to play the money line. So real briefly, I'll share some opinions on maybe some other games real quick that just, you know, I'm not. Again, summer league basketball, not my huge forte. Tonight we get Houston and Toronto. That'll be a probably really good game. Jalen Green, obviously. Sagun going for Houston, the top two draft picks for them. Philly and Atlanta play, so that will be exciting. That's the 9 o'clock game, Atlanta, plus 140. Look for them to win. I think Atlanta's trying to make some noise in the summer league, led by Sharif Cooper, because he's got a big old chip on his shoulder. He's got half a spud on his shoulder for getting dropped in the second round the way he was. Phoenix and Denver, you know, Phoenix, they just got winning nature in their blood. So I wouldn't be shocked if Phoenix is an underdog wins tonight. Summer league is so weird, you know. It's amazing. It's an amazing, beautiful culmination of just like this talent that we've either forgotten about or talent that we, this sounds bad, that we will forget about once, you know, they go to the, is it G League now? D League, G League, the minors, the farm system, you know, and it's the way basketball goes. But Orlando and Boston be another interesting one. A lot of young guys over there on the Orlando side that I like. Peyton Pritchard's been leading the Boston point guard unit. So Indiana and Portland, both these teams got some, you know, changes that happened this offseason. So I think that with the lack of too much data and lack of too much know-how on all this summer league stuff, I'm going to leave it to the professionals on our team, our guys. You know, I made a play. I like Charlotte, like I said, just because of, well, I watched them just kill that draft. That was that was impressive. And then I got like a little bit of a lean on over 171.5 on the Houston-Toronto game because, look, you got Malachi Flynn for Toronto, very capable point guard, very savvy. Houston, they got all those first-round draft picks. They got Jalen Green, explosive scorer, the number two pick. So they got Sagun, a really good offensive rebounder. And look for Toronto to, you know, make some noise this summer league, I think. So with that being said, I think I covered a nice old bevy of topics. There's been a while since I diversified my portfolio, so I apologize on my unorganized long-windedness. So thank you for bearing with me and being patient. And again, thank you for listening to the content first and foremost. That is, you know, it makes me feel good. It does. It does. You know, not to have like a big old heart to heart here, but we appreciate all of it and everything that's happened with HoopBall and today in sports betting and just myself and my career here as a curator and sports writer and everything else that I do, you know, is just possible because of y'all. So I do appreciate it. With all that said, I am sending you all of my good vibes and all of my good energies, positive alike, and I hope that your day is safe and that you're healthy. If you need something taken care of, I hope it happens for you today. Make sure to do something nice, do something kind to someone, for someone, and just ultimately be safe out there, y'all. Please be safe. That being said, today in sports betting is out.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.